This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Karen Reed's murder trial, it is about to get underway. Jury selection taking some time because it is a hot issue in the town where it is going on, virtually splitting it apart. Some on the side for Karen, some not. It's a very confusing case. And when you start to dive into it, it's a rabbit hole. You got to keep going and going and going, and you find new little bits and pieces here and there, and you walk away even more confused than you were to begin with. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. There's a lot to unpack here, I think, until we get into the testimony and such. The biggest thing is the alternate suspect theory that is going to be allowed into this case. Where do you think that's going to go, and what fingers are going to be pointing at whom once they're able to bring that in front of the jury?
Well, the third party culprit defense, which has now been allowed by Judge Canone, it's interesting, Tony, because he's not going to let them discuss it in opening statements. Mm-hmm. So they don't get to make, you know, they don't get to lay it out. But during testimony, they're going to be able to, in their cross-examination and in their examination of witnesses, they're going to be able to delve into it. I was kind of disappointed, but on the other side, I see that this is their only defense, so they should be able to wage it. Right now, it appears, you know, they initially have blamed everyone that was in that house. So that's mm-hmm. the Alberts, the parents that were there. Then they had two children there, and they had a nephew there, but he wasn't there until he left prior to Karen Reed and John O'Keefe arriving on the curtilage in their vehicle, the Alberts, and then, of course, Brian Higgins, who was the ATF agent. So they had this small gathering because of a birthday going on. And really, the defense has said everybody's involved in this. This mm-hmm. is a grand conspiracy. But now, because Judge Canone said, which I thought was brilliant, listen, I've read 4,000 pages and I still don't even know what evidence you have to point in this direction and who you're even pointing at, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, it seems like everyone is kind of gone into a mode of covering their own butt on this, and nobody is saying anything. It's like all self-preservation. Conspiracy, or is it just that? Is it just everybody? Was it everybody sitting down saying, we're not going to say anything about any of this? Or is it more so nobody wants to have the finger pointed at them? And right now it's pointing at Karen. So everyone's just kind of staying silent, even if there was knowledge of something that happened here.
Well, Tony, my belief is this is all a bunch of nonsense. There was never a conspiracy. When they went to the house and invited, again, a fellow police officer over, they didn't dislike John O'Keefe. Everyone yeah. liked John O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. And it's a bunch of baloney to cover up this other situation. The exact fingers are pointing now at an ATF agent, Brian Higgins, who, again, was involved in some sort of tryst, it would seem, with Karen Reed. Mm-hmm. Over 50 text messages between them. Karen Reed talks about kissing him. Don't worry, John O'Keefe's cameras, I know where they're at. Mm-hmm. It won't catch us. It's very much her aggressively, seemingly pursuing ATF agent Brian Higgins. Mm-hmm. So now the defense is pointing at him. They're pointing at Brian Albert, who owned that house, who's a fellow police officer. And they're also pointing the finger at Helen Albert, who wasn't even there, mm-hmm. which is insane. But in any event, that is who they actually have named as their culprits.
Interesting. What I wonder about all of this is, I mean, okay, if she's having an affair with somebody else, she has another love interest. I don't think she's out there trying to kill John O'Keefe either, like intentionally anyway. But at the same point, is this, again, are we just simply looking at something where this was an accident? She was drunk. Maybe she was blacked out, doesn't remember anything. I mean, obviously there is, you know, some, you know, evidence here that points to some consciousness of guilt, or at least I would say inquiry of guilt of, did I hit him? And then we, of course, have the text message from somebody in the house saying, you know, how long till someone, you know, freezes in the snow and dies. I know I'm paraphrasing that. But none of it necessarily, I think, you know, saying, you know, we did this, more so, well, where did he go? Like, is he out there? Or, like, when is he going to come back in with the text message? And then Karen being confused as to if she actually did hit somebody. Is this all just a big mess of an accident that took place, but nobody was, you know, sober enough to truly connect the dots at that moment in time and just went along with their way of the night?
Well, in the criminal complaint, originally the charge was manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't second degree murder. It wasn't until it was brought before a grand jury that the grand jurors indicted him on the up charge of that, which is second degree murder, which I found very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the evidence, if we just like focus out all of the nonsense, the evidence is this. What's indisputable is that she drove him, that nothing's in dispute mm-hmm. about this. She drove him to the home of Brian Albert for this gathering.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out of the car. Then what's in dispute, of course, is whether he goes in or not. She is given multiple, she said multiple things. She said, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him. Those are exclamation marks. I hit him, according to the EMS worker.
Mm-hmm.
And that those statements are in the paperwork in the court filed document. So we know that that's going to be the testimony of the EMS worker.
Then
we know she said, yeah. Question mark. I hit him? Mm-hmm. I hit him? Things like that. Then we know she's also said things to the effect of, I think he got hit by a plow driver.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that she said they beat him up. Just look at my headlamp. You know, that's the newest one that's come out.
Yeah.
As if they smashed his head into the lamp. And then we know that, or taillight, I should say. Then we know there are small fragments of the taillight in his clothing, Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You can't plant that.
No.
We know his DNA is on the fragments of the taillight. We know the taillight was found on scene, fragments of that taillight. We know her movements, at least, departing from that location. We know that according to the medical examiner, there was no sign of any fight mm-hmm. in terms of his injuries. Zero. No dog bites, no sign of dog bites. We know the clothing was sent in, no sign of canine or non-human DNA. So mm-hmm. riddle me this. How in the world do you go into a house, get beat to a pulp by 9 people, and then you brilliantly, as an ATF agent and a seasoned Boston cop, decide to throw the evidence, which is the guy you just beat up on your front lawn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all just crazy. Or we could go with Occam's theory, which is, you know, you take the easiest, simplest thing. She was angry. She was mad. She hit him. Do I think she intentionally did that? I'll just never understand why she didn't plead to manslaughter and throw herself on the mercy of the court.
Sick of the ads?
We ought to.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.